Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
We're talking about the Royal Prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer, and I have chosen this topic so very much as an important subject that we need to be praying about. I want to first just read a single verse to you, and then come back to Matthew 5:9. Just listen to this verse, Luke chapter number 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They watched him, and he said, and they said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say." So this particular verse here, where they request from the Lord, we call it, many people call it the Our Father. In the Jewish world, we call it the Messiah's prayer, the prayer of the Messiah. And in my terminology in South Africa, many churches do call it the Royal Prayer, because it's given by the King of Kings. Now, having said that, it's very important, this particular prayer. A lot of people don't realize it. Last night I was emphasizing the accuracy of the word. And I was emphasizing the fact that you need a word-for-word translation as close as possible to the original, either Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic text. Very close, because your entire interpretation of your faith has got to be accurate. Your faith has got to be in accordance with what God says. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word was God. Now, if you take that in the Greek, in the book of John chapter number 1, where it says, "And the Word was God," let me quote the entire verse again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Where do you think the Greek emphasis is there? The Greek emphasis is like this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. That's what it, if I read it with the emphasis, the same emphasis as the Greek, then it emphatically states the Word was God. And we need to understand, therefore, that when you deal with the Word, you've got to get close to the Word. I always refer to this expression, lost in translation. People putting in things or leaving out things they don't understand. I quoted in the Hebrew from Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1. I quoted a little verse there, and I quoted the Hebrew, which is much easier when you look at Genesis 1:1, where it says, Bereshit arba, Bereshit Elohim arba at Shemayim Chayeretz, which is Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But there are two words in there, two letters in there of the Hebrew alphabet sitting there, and they don't make up a word, but they do make up a word. Because it's the Aleph Tav. It says in the beginning Bereshit Elohim, which is God, at arba, that A-T, Aleph Tav, is not translated. So it's lost in translation. That Aleph Tav is the Alpha and the Omega, but it's a Jewish version of it. So you have Aleph, first letter, Tav, last letter, in the Hebrew alphabet. God is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Aleph and he's the Tav. So you see Aleph, which is in itself numerical value. If you break up the Aleph in the way it works in a pictographic analysis, if you break it up, then you find that it spells out the name of God. In numerical value, it spells out the name of the Almighty God. It says, the strongest leader, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is God Almighty, created the heaven and the earth. And Tav is the cross. So right in the first sentence, there's a little word that's in there that people don't even know of. It sits right there under your eyes. If you read the Hebrew, you see it straight away. And you wonder, why didn't they ever translate? Because they didn't know what it was. They didn't understand. They didn't understand the pictographic analysis by which these things come together and the numerical values and the algorithms and all the things that go together with you understand what's going on. It's why it's very important for you to understand the word. If you understand, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Very important to understand. Memory works by understanding. I always say to students at the universities, I say to them, listen, people, understand what you're studying. If you do understand, and afterwards explain it to yourself, understand because your mind is working in picture form. It's like a video form. Everything, you just play back the video. So memory works on that. And if you understand that every letter in the Hebrew alphabet actually is a little picture of something. They wrote in the early days, prior to the days of Noah, like the days of Enoch and Noah himself, and then later on Abraham, they wrote in little pictures. It was little pictures. That's how the ancient Hebrew was. Only later on did they have the block system come in. Of the original letters are all little pictures. So they wrote with little pictures. You took the pictures, you saw the pictures, you know what he was talking about. All right? So Aleph Tav means the strong leader who will be crucified created the heavens and the earth. See, right there in the beginning. So having said that, now the word became flesh, John chapter 1, verse number 14, and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of mercy. The Aleph Tav, the word became flesh. See, the word became flesh. Now, it is very important, therefore, that I stay close to the word, because you get paraphrase translation, you get all these different translations. I stay away from that. I am a stickler for that. I work with the manuscripts, the old manuscripts, ancient manuscripts from the days of the Dead Sea Scrolls and before. So I look at these things from a different point of view. You better believe it. I am an academic. So I look at this and I say, ooh, this is lost, that's lost, this is lost in translation, dear Lord Jesus. And then I think the best way to do it is to go for the most accurate that I can get off English translation. I use mostly in English the New King James translation, which is available to most people. Now, having said all of that, I'm sure that you want to know, therefore, when Jesus said in Matthew 5, and I'm saying verse number 9. By now everybody's found Matthew 5, verse 9. In Matthew 5, verse 9, he's going to go into the royal prayer. Now let me talk a little bit, give you a little bit of background while we go there. Always walk around with the sword of the Spirit. Don't go around without your Bible. Either have your Bible in your hand or have it here or here. Or both here and here. Are you with me now? I carry my Bible here and here. So, you know, you never find me in a position where I cannot talk. Whatever you want me to talk about, I'll talk. And so the thing is that there is a very important context to this immensely powerful prayer. Jesus, who the Word said, pray the following words. From him whom God sent, who spoke the word. John 3:34. He who God sent spoke the word of God. Therefore God gave him the Spirit without measure. Spirit without measure. The anointing in the word agrees. It flows with the word. So the ancient Hebrew scriptures literally were shaped to channel power in a specific way. See? So the whole of creation, that's why the Jewish people call the Tanakh, which is actually the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses, they call it the blueprint of creation, and they're right. Because going into the Bible codes that sits underneath, I see that all the time. Everything that God created is in there, and you know why it is. Everything. Did you know that I've been researching on one thing alone, and that was on the DNA of the human being? Do you know that now they have in Israel decoded the DNA to a point where there is a numerical value to various parts of the little bridges and little spiral strings of DNA. And did you know that if you break it down into numerics, it spells the name of God? Yod, He, Vav, He. Your brand. And God said, let us make man according to our image, according to our likeness. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And when he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, they received the breath of life. They lit up with the glory of God like lamps, like these lights. They couldn't even see their nakedness. They just lit up until darkness came. Then there would be some 6,000 years up to now. But 4,000 years passed by where the devil had this world system nicely. And he was having a heyday until one day a king walked the earth. You see, the devil never created anything but chaos. He couldn't even say, all the kingdoms of the earth I will give to you, for they have been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish. Liar. He's a thief. He stole it. And the entire, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is everything that exists. It belongs to God. So he stole this realm, this dimension in which we live, the space-time continuum. Stole it. So he comes to the Word, and he uses the Word of God, quotes Scripture. Somebody reminded me yesterday. Quotes Scripture at the Word. Well, you know, the Bible says, some having twisted the Word of God to their own destruction, Jesus said, it is written. The Word speaks the Word. So when the devil attacks, he speaks the Word at him. Sword of the Spirit takes him out of the way. So Jesus arrives on the scene, and as he does, suddenly on earth, there's one person who is the King of Glory invading what the devil stole. And the king has arrived, and he says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So now we know that all of the forces of darkness are focused on Jesus, and they want to kill him, and they did. But the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, we speak the wisdom of God, which none of the rulers of this world knew. For had they known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. See, never crucified, made a big mistake. Because in the process, they got destroyed. In the process, the devil got disarmed. In the process, truth arose from the grave. In the process, the keys of life and death is in the hands of the Messiah. He's in control. Then God pours out the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to them before that, during 40 days, about the kingdom of God. And so this kingdom of darkness is invaded first by the king, destroys the power of the devil, disarms him, and then fills people with the Holy Spirit. And like Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, says, we populate heaven and we plunder hell. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. So now, having said all of that, you are a very well-responsive crowd. Give the Lord a good praise offering, everybody. Amen. Amen. So now, you know, I think I can now start with my sermon. In Africa, we have, I don't know if you can see it up here, though, but in Africa, we certainly see it. I see it every night, almost. Because right now it's wintertime, so you have very low relative humidity, very low dust factor, and you can see the Milky Way very clear. Where I live, we live on a plot, and it's big. It's about 4 rugby fields, a little bit more than 4 soccer fields. I don't know your fields that you use for rugby. I don't know how big they are, or American rugby or football. I don't know what they call that. But in any case, whatever it is, it's big. And I go walk in the darkness. I seek out the darkness. I got 2 Rottweilers with me. They're well trained, and they walk with me in the night, and they disappear. You don't see them, but they're there all the time. And they just stay very close to me, and they are like my prayer companions. And I would walk to a certain spot where God spoke to me one night. And it was a stunning experience, very stunning experience that happened. But I would look up at the sky, and right above my head as I look up, I would see the Milky Way, and I would see there is the Southern Cross. And by the Southern Cross and the two pointers, whatever, you know, without getting into all the details, I could tell you that's where southeast, northeast, easteast, west is. So I could pray towards Jerusalem. I could pray whatever the case may be. And the cross, I look up at the Southern Cross. I lift up my hands every night. And then I pray. I pray the royal prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Avenu shima shimai itkadesh shimcha. Tovomachuka. Yeseret somcha. Shima shimai ken ba'ais. Our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But not like that quite. Because over the last few years, I found that spiritually, there is an increase of intensity. After God had spoken to me on right on the specific spot, that specific spot, it was just very strange to me. But after I had that communication there, the grass died in that patch. And then I noticed after a while that a different grass had filled that patch. And you shine there with a torch at night, like it shimmers. So I go back to that spot every night. The two dogs settle down, they go lie down, they wait for me to finish. But when you take the Our Father, which art in heaven, you don't pray it like that, because every word is loaded. It is the word of the word. And it covers everything you need to have covered. Okay? Give us. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. Those four things cover anything that you may want. So I would go outside. Now, I'm spoken in Hebrew there, but if I go outside, I would go like this, literally. There's nobody around. It's dark. Under the Southern Cross, I'm reminded of my Savior when I look at the Southern Cross. I would pray just like now this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Correct translation. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Adjective, singular, evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the two dogs know that's time to go. Now we need to understand that I've spent several weeks of this royal prayer with the church. But I'm going to take you to one or two portions which I think that you need to take note of. Because if you look at it now, just say normally, our Father, our Father. That means God the Father the Father of all that exists, who is our Father. We in our DNA carry what I would, what you call a brand. We are stamped with a brand of His name in our DNA. He's our Father, which, who is, I am. Moses, tell the people I am. In heaven. So I look up at the heaven. I just long to be with Him. Always. See, it's all about relationship. Hallowed be thy name, Hashem, Hashem, the name. Now, this little piece that I want to focus in on. In those days, Jesus went around the synagogues and began to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist went around and said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. But the kingdom of God now is within. So once you embrace the king, the kingdom comes within. You see, there's a lot of people that have taken Jesus as their Savior or received Him as their Savior, but He is not Lord of all their lives or of the entirety of their lives. Having Him as Savior is one thing, but having Him as Lord is everything. So now, when we look at this word, your kingdom, which is so critical, so very critical, and I say it's a double barrel decree. What do you call it in Jewish decree? You know, when they have a prayer shawl, they close the prayer shawl. It's a type of the tabernacle. They close it. That means don't disturb me now. They go to the kotel, which is what we call the Wailing Wall in English, but it's really the kotel. And there they go, they pray, the most prayed spot on earth. They close it like that. And in there, they begin to make decrees, proclamations like that, faith proclamations. And they have the tassels between their fingers, which is the entirety of all of the laws of Moses, some 613 of them. And they have them between their fingers, and they hold on to the word. And they make decrees under that prayer shawl, like that. See, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The two run together. It's a double decree, double barrel decree. But now, it sounds very simple to say thy kingdom come. But is it simple? No, it's not simple. Because if I say thy kingdom come, the Greek word is erkomai. If I look at the word erkomai, and I want to read to you from the dictionary with purpose. It means thy kingdom come. That means the movement from one point to another with focus, with perseverance, with intention of your approach, with the end vision in view. So if God says, if you say thy kingdom come, you're saying, you're actually activating a process. Now let me help you a little bit here. You want to be helped on this one. For sure you want to. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, doesn't it? Yes. Right? So, let's understand this thing. I'm saying, I happen to know I've met Hannah now. I'm looking at Hannah and I'm saying, thy kingdom problem in Hannah's life. What happens is a process is initiated. That process is from point one to the end view that God has for every life that is of the kingdom of God. When somebody's unsaved, you have a son, you have a daughter, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have a family member, and you want that person saved, you say concerning Jenny, Jack, Joe, whatever the name, Peter, whatever. Lord, concerning that person, concerning that house there, where there's so much disarray, thy kingdom come! And you unleash the power of you channel the power of the word. It begins a process with the end in view. With focus, with the end in view. Lives are changed. Your family is changed. Everything. Will you give the Lord a good praise offering, everybody? Come on, praise God. Shout hallelujah. Woo. That's right. Like I said last night, unfortunately, we don't provide you with seat belts in this place. So if you jump up, nobody can stop you, I suppose. And then no ushers or anybody like in an aircraft to tell you, please, sir, take your seat. You know, this doesn't happen around here. It means to proceed on a course with a destination in view. It means to change from one position with the implication of being brought forward towards your destiny. It means literally to get something into motion that God intends to have like that. So I pray for my children, grandchildren, by name. And I said, Lord, that's a faith verse there. This one here, one of the best faith verses in the Bible for families. I want to tell you, thy kingdom come, Matthew 9, verse 10. It doeth me great pleasure, because the devil, the gates of hell, can't prevail. I tell you now, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I tell you now, the King of Glory has already broken his back. I tell you now, when I say, devil, you take your hands off so and so and so and so. Lord, you are the King of Glory, and you said, when you pray, then say. I say, yes, your majesty. I say concerning Joe, Peter, John, Debbie, whoever. I won't say it about my wife because it's already happened to her. Okay, it's happening to all of us all of the time. Because I don't just want Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to just be saved. I want him as my Lord. That means he's in control of everything. Lord, it's like this. It's like this. It's like, look at me, Lord. Thy kingdom come. My everything, whatever I possess, whatever I am, from my socks, from my soles and my feet, all the way up to my head. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Who can stop the power of the word of God? Who can stop the power of the word of God? Who can stop the power of the sword of the Spirit? Now, actually, in accordance with my calculations up here, I've preached about an hour now. I do not know how long I've preached because I never bothered to look.
Keep going.
I tell you, Pastor Alex, what time do you normally close this place? You know, in Johannesburg, we have the church there at night. They sit like this. Nobody goes home. They don't leave. They want to hear more. Because if you're in the Word of God, if you take that Word of God, I have so many times in visions of the Lord, with my eyes wide open in daytime, seen angels appear before me. I've seen demons appear before me. I've seen what they've done and how they touch people. And when they touch those people that are not saved, their heads turn into the heads of monsters, human beings. It's like that. They spread. Dark angels falling in the cities, of the streets of the cities. They move at a blistering speed. I wish I could talk to you about the speed of light and beyond. The mathematics of that. Where mathematics actually end is where we begin. Because there's a realm that all things that were created were not made of things that are visible. Amen. That realm is way superior to the realm in which we walk. Yeah. When you have an understanding, I call it my study, my specialist study is the physics of non-physics. And when you go to that realm, you understand, you begin to look at this, you say, Lord, okay, wait a minute now. Now, in other words, when we are transformed as unto or into your glorious body, then we will have certain characteristics. What characteristics? How is it possible for a person to reach Alpha Centauri at the speed of light? Professor David Block, my friend, astrophysics, mathematics, astronomy, and Applied Mathematics, University of Witwatersrand, Johannesburg, said to me it would calculate to take about 1,000 years for a person to accelerate up to the speed of light. But if you were to accelerate to the speed of light, your physical body will not be able to handle it. You can't handle that continuous. Have you ever seen these people inside those rockets, how they shake like that? Because of those solid rocket boosters burning 5 tons of liquid aluminium fuel per second. They go like that. Can you imagine doing that for, like, how long until you finally reach the speed of light? You'll die. See? So the so-called warp speed and Star Wars won't work. Just won't work. But the physics of non-physics is a different dimension that I can talk to you for hours about. That is the kingdom of God that we bring down through prayer. The kingdom of God is here. The gospel of the kingdom. Because the time comes, whether you are here, whether the Lord comes this year, next year, or not in your lifetime, everybody will blow out their last breath. You will go through a dimensional change. In mathematics, it's about 9, 10, 11 dimensions. We can talk about dimensionality, but I'm not going to go there. Just take two, seen and unseen. When you put on your glorious body, you have no matter, okay, whatsoever to hold you back in terms of movement, gravitational pull, and all the rest. The speed wherewith you'll be able to move would be simply called blistering. And there is a city that has been prepared for you. I quote John chapter number 14. I haven't got time to do all of it, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hey, how about this one? Thy kingdom come in my business. Not just me and my Savior, but me and our Lord. I want to close. I have to close. I have to close. I can go on, right? Just one thing that a lot of people have difficulty with, but you don't understand. If you don't understand, then of course understanding brings light. The entrance of the word brings light, brings revelation, understanding. The Bible says, even to the simple. So give us this day. What's this day? This day. In Hebrew, it doesn't work like that. In the Jewish world, it doesn't work like that. A day begins from sundown to sundown. So if I'm standing in the nighttime, my last prayer is this prayer I've just told you. And now all over Johannesburg, all over the area, everybody's teaching their children the royal prayer. And they teach it properly. Maybe I'll do a little bit more for you tonight. I have to get to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Oh, my goodness. We get to a point where if you understand what you're actually praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, by the way, I'm going to interrupt myself. Just, I have to tell you this. I have to tell you this. I do you dishonor. But listen, I don't want to do you dishonor. I want to tell you this. Do you know that when Jesus came and the kingdom of God, do you know that it always involves a process from point one to point two to the end vision? And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. Then 4,000 years later, the king arrives, the seed of the woman. By the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the King of glory. And the most righteous person ever to walk the face of the earth. Do you know that part of it was a cross? That even in the life of the righteous, you have to take up the cross. I close. A Hebrew day, if you say this day, if you say give us this day. This day means from tonight till tomorrow night, the same time, our daily bread. So if I pray tonight, give me this day my daily bread. Daily means the prayer is supposed to be prayed daily. I've been praying it all my life, and somehow or another, I've been preserved all my life. Without failure. From sundown to sundown, the day has already begun when the night has fallen. So I say, this day, give us this day our daily bread. Immediately I've got that. Alex, I force myself off the platform. These people here are so hungry for the Word of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.